All right, let's get started. Have a seat and find 1 Samuel chapter 17. Once you find 1 Samuel 17, turn to Luke 24. So 1 Samuel 17 is the story of David and Goliath, and then let's look at Luke 24:44. Hope I got that right. Yeah, that's correct. So 1 Samuel 17 and then Luke 24:44. So this chapter is too long to get done in one setting without just it seeming like we're here forever. And so we're just going to arbitrarily stop somewhere around 7:05 or something like that. And it'll just be kind of disjointed and how not to preach. Verse 44 of Luke 24 says, "Then he said to them," he referring to Jesus, "after his resurrection and before his ascension, and Jesus said, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets,'" let me remind you, Samuel is a prophet, "and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." One more time. "These are the words, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Let's pray. Father in heaven, guide our words. Guide our time together. Teach us well, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you can turn back to 1 Samuel 17. Our sermon title tonight is David, a Hero and a Type of Christ. David, a Hero and a Type of Christ. I would like you, if you are going to, in some form or fashion, with one or more persons, during the next month, if you will teach the Word of God, would you please raise your hand? Okay, I am in a room full of teachers. A room full of teachers. People who are going to teach the Word of God. That is, they're going to teach the Word of God to their children. They're going to teach the Word of God to other people of God. They're going to teach the Word of God to those that they are discipling. They're going to teach the Word of God in a ladies' Bible study. They're going to teach the Word of God in fifth grade. They're going to teach the Word of God in Awana. They're going to teach the Word of God in Sunday school. They teach the Word of God. So part of my, I think, inherent responsibilities as a senior pastor of this congregation is to talk about teaching as we teach the Word of God. In other words, we collectively get better at teaching the Word of God because we talk about teaching the Word of God. I think this helps contribute to the likelihood or the probability or the hopefully assurance that Berean Baptist Church will always be a teaching church. That it has become a teaching church and will remain a teaching church. We want the reputation in the community that if you want to learn the Bible, go to Berean. We want that reputation. So I learned this week, and it was so helpful, and I may have learned it before and had forgotten it, so I may be relearning it, but I was listening to a podcast by a Presbyterian, and it was excellent. It was that kind of Irish voice, which, you know, is kind of endearing when you're listening to it and all that, and it sounds so theological just in and of itself, you know what I mean, because it has this leaning towards King James and Elizabethan and everything. When we study the Old Testament, when we look at the Old Testament, he suggests that we need to look at it with these three levels, or these three on the screen. Number one, at a personal level. Number two, at a national level or a nationalistic level. And then number three, how does this story fit within the larger context of the story of redemption? I think this is super helpful, and I wish you would write it down, and I wish you would contemplate it as a teacher. I'm talking to all my elementary teachers. I'm talking about all my Sunday school teachers. Talking to all the elders tonight. Talking to everyone that teaches the Word of God. And I want to work through this framework as we work through this super common, famous story, David and Goliath. And I think that in the past, and I don't know when that was, but the idea of contrasting a previous way of doing something and a present way of doing something, that there was in the past much emphasis on David as this hero who conquered the giant, and you too need to conquer the giants in your life. And look how he's courageous, and you too need to be courageous. And then in light of scriptures like Luke 24:44, where we are to see Christ on the pages, we run to the story of redemption and we see David as a type of Christ, and we really want to lean towards that. And I think for us, the key is let's work hard at being balanced. Balanced. Let's be willing to preach David as the hero of the story and all that he is, and then simultaneously teach Jesus on the story. Let's do both. Let's not neglect one for the other. We don't have to choose one, two, or three. I would suggest to you that think of them like glasses and put each set of glasses on and work hard to teach David as the hero, because we need heroes. Okay? What did Paul tell us to do? Paul said, "You follow me as I follow Christ." We need human examples. We don't want to minimize these heroes in our Old Testament, because we're always running to Jesus. Now, do we want to run to Jesus? Of course we do. But this larger national story of Israel is packed full of micro stories along the way. And every one of those micro stories are stories of redemption. They're stories of heroic acts. They're stories of faith. Think about your Hall of Fame in Hebrews. And so let's do that tonight. Let's do that as we work through this larger narrative. It's 58 verses, so it's pretty long. The Philistines, or the enemy of God's people, are gathered against the armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socah, and which belongs to Judah, and encamped between, and we've got these locations, and the author goes out of his way to give us the details of the placement, and they're in a valley, and they've drawn up in a line against the Philistines. And let's remind ourselves of this description of Goliath, because it's pretty incredible. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. There came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had bronze armor on his legs, a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. His spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield bearer went before him. This is an intimidating man. This is a giant. This is an enemy. This can be your giant problem. It would be fine to call it your problem. You're not taking away from the story when you make this the problem. Notice Goliath is armed for battle. Look at Goliath's self-reliant dependence on weapons and his own strength. When we read these stories, when we teach these stories, when we talk about these stories to our 7th grade Bible class, to our 11th graders, to whomever we're doing it, while we love to put ourselves in the position of David, We simultaneously must ask, am I more like Goliath today than David? And obviously no one wants to be a Goliath, right? But how many times are we guilty of doing things in our own strength? Relying upon our 401k plan. Relying upon our home security system. Relying upon 911. Relying upon something other than God. And in those situations, we are much more like Goliath than David. And we must be aware of the fact that I am, apart from the Holy Spirit, apart from being made a new creature in Christ, I am much more prone to be a Goliath than a David. That if the Lord is with me and I am listening to the Lord and being guided by the Lord, then I have the potential of being like David. So in essence, and we're not going to fill this in, but we could very well next week, we could build a chart and we could put David on one side of the chart. If I was teaching this in fifth grade Bible class, I might use a dry erase board, something just like this. And I would ask the students as we work through this to give me all the characteristics of David and all the characteristics of Goliath. And I would want them to see what David is like as I would want them to see what Goliath is. And I would do this comparison between David and Goliath before I went to who they typify. David being a type of Christ, Goliath being the devil, the enemy, the antichrist. And there's nothing wrong with going to Goliath as the devil, because in the end of the story, his head is cut off in fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. He gets a head injury, and we're talking about a serious head injury. Verse 8, he stood and shouted to the ranks, why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you are servants of Saul? We read past this very quickly and we miss the mocking that's here. Do you understand that he's not even acknowledging that they have a national identity? He does not call them Israelites. He calls them slaves of Saul. This would be completely disregarding that you're an American. Just calling you a slave of Trump. And you would take great offense to that. You would say, I'm an American. He doesn't even acknowledge who they are. Now remember, let's back the train up. What were the three levels that I asked you to look at the Old Testament when you're teaching? Let's review. Number one was personal. Number two was national. And number three was? I need you to see that this uncircumcised Philistine is not even acknowledging that they are a people. He's not even acknowledging that they are a nation. But wait a minute, in the story of nationalistic Israel, this is God's people. This is God's nation. These are God's people who are occupying God's land. Do you understand that their very occupation is a partial fulfillment of the Abraham covenant? And this helps us see why God is going to fight for his people with such vengeance in a few minutes in the story, because this man is not even acknowledging that these are the people of God. And when David shows up, you hear his outrage as he works through this man. Am I not a Philistine? Are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. Notice the representative nature of the story. Folks, this is substitutionary. This is substitutionary. Now we're talking redemptive, right? Now we're talking redemptive, personal, nationalistic, redemptive. Choose a man. I choose the man, Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Choose a man. Goliath, one man representing all the Philistines. David, one man representing the people of God. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. You know what that is? That's representative. He said, when did you die? When Adam died. You were in Adam. That's why you're a sinner by nature. Yeah, and choice, but first by nature. Verse 9 says, if he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. If I prevail against him and kill you, then you shall be our servants and serve us. Goliath is an enslaver. Goliath is an enslaver. Do you understand that the objective here is to enslave an entire people to themselves? Free labor? When we say that you were bought with a price, that your redemption was secured on the cross, we are talking at the redemptive level. We are saying that the man, Christ Jesus, redeemed you from slavery to sin. And the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all the Israelites heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Goliath is frightening. How many times in your Old Testament does God tell Israel, do not be afraid? Fear not, fear not, fear not. And David was the son of, how do I pronounce that? Ephraite? Thank you very much. That was excellent. He's named Jesse, and he had 8 sons, was old and advanced in years. 3 oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to battle, the names of 3, and we've got the names. David was the youngest, the 3 eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. I have this highlighted for you because we're going to talk about this next week. Because the end of the chapter is very interesting. You can study that for yourself this week. But in the end of the chapter, Saul asks, who is this guy? And it's very interesting because here he is going back and forth. So study that this week. Tell me what you think as we're going to work through that next week. For 40 days, the Philistines came forward and took his stand morning and evening. Goliath is persistent. The a.m. prayer time and the p.m. prayer time, and both times when the people of God are supposed to be praying to the God of their people or their God, Goliath is interrupting this prayer time with this taunting, with this mocking. Jesse said to David, his son, take for your brothers and Ephraim of this parched grain and these 10 loaves. Carry them quickly to the camp of your brothers. Take these 10 cheeses to the commander of 1,000. See if your brothers are well. Bring some token from them. David was sent. David was sent by his father. Now we're going to the redemptive level, and we remind ourselves tonight that God the Father sent his son to his brothers. By the way, who rejected him? Yeah. Now Saul and they were all the men of Israel were in the valley of Ephraim fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper and took the provisions and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out for battle, shouting the war cry. David is a shepherd. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage. This is the quartermaster. And ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. And he talked with them, and behold, I'm sorry, too far. And Israel grew up, and he left them with the baggage. Verse 23. And he talked with them. Behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came out of the ranks of the Philistines, spoke the same words, and David heard him. Teachers, this is where you could stop and you could drill down to personal application. And you could talk about, what do you do when you hear something like this? What do you do when you hear God being mocked? What do you do when someone makes fun of your God? Do you just let it go? Or dare to be a David? And you would not be doing the text Miss Harm if you turned this into a giant personal application of doing something when you hear something. You would not be doing the text harm. You don't have to just exclusively go to Christ. You can talk about the fact, and David heard him. Look at that structure. How many people hear things and they should stand up and do something about it, and they do nothing? We are not doing the text any harm when we say there were 100,000 men who had heard the Philistine taunt Israel for 40 days, and they did nothing, and a small shepherd boy shows up, hears it, and now confronts the giant. You could preach that to your Sunday school class. You could preach it to your fifth graders all day long. And you could say, how many of you are a David? And you would not be doing the text harm. You would be highlighting the character and nature of a shepherd boy. And the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. Once again, Goliath is frightening. By the way, Christians, be really careful about Halloween. Be careful about how you celebrate it. Be careful about what you're teaching your children. The devil is frightening. The devil is not a joke. Witches are not a joke. Demons are not a joke. We would be terrified if we could see the underworld. Be careful what you're doing on this holiday. And do you see how it's growing? 8 billion is the number I heard. An $8 billion holiday. It's not going anywhere. With that kind of money being made, it's here to stay. But what you have to decide is, how am I going to be involved in it? The devil is frightening, church. The devil is not a joke. He's a roaring, lying, seeking whom he may devour. If I put on the screen the number of families that were in Brian and are no longer in church from the last 13 years, it would be frightening. When I say that he's a roaring lion seeking to devour you, it's not a joke. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your walk with the Lord. He is Goliath. Goliath is him. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who's come up? Surely he's come up to defy Israel, and the king will enrich the man who kills with great riches, and will give his daughter and make his father's house tax-free in Israel. This is the reward that Saul has put out for anyone who will destroy Goliath. Think about the way Jesus Christ was exalted after the victory over Satan on the cross. The one who destroys Goliath will be rewarded. David says to the man who stood by, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You could just camp out here. You could just talk about this for minutes. You could talk about the fact uncircumcised. You could talk about how everyone is either circumcised or uncircumcised. You could go to the national level of circumcision, which is the people of God or the men of the Abrahamic covenant. But then from there, you could jump to the circumcision of the heart that the Holy Spirit performs. You could talk about the fact that either you're circumcised or you're not. Either you're part of the people of God or you're not part of the people of God. You could talk about reproach and the need to take away reproach. You could talk about defy the armies of the living God. What a statement. This is David's reaction when he hears his God being mocked. Let me ask you, and I'm asking with every ounce of seriousness I have, men in this room, do you have enough moral courage when you're in an environment of unbelievers to stand up for your God? Sister, I know you do. I have no doubt. You are a David. There's no doubt. Travel ball teams. Will you let the Lord's name be taken in vain and you'll say nothing? Will you dare to be a David? Do you have the moral courage to stand up for your God? A man delivered some windows to my house the other day, and he opened up the back, and the ratchet strapping that was securing the windows against the wall had come completely down, and the windows were on the floor. And yes, John, he was quite concerned. And he said, I am just praying with my fingers crossed that they're not broke, because my boss will, you know. And I said, well, does it help to have your fingers crossed when you're praying? And he said, they're not broke. Whatever God there is, I said, it's not whatever God. I said, it's not whatever God. I said, it's the one true and living God who created you. Just a tiny little seed that we're trying to plant on a regular basis. We're living in a world in which children are being taught they came from monkeys. What will we do to combat this? He said, this is the living God. David takes away the reproach of the people of God. For 40 days, they were in a stalemate in which they were being mocked every day. The entire camp was in fear. There was a reproach upon the people of God. They're in their own land. Do you understand? This is their land. This is the land that they were given from God through Abraham, through Isaac, through the 12 sons. This is the land that Joshua conquered. This is the land that they were supposed to own, and now they're living in fear to the Philistines. Personal, national, redemptive. Isaiah 25:8 says, he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. What a promise. David does for Israel what Christ will do for his people when he returns and establishes a global kingdom. Revelation 11, the kingdom of this world become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The people answered him in the same way and said, so shall it be done to the man who kills him. And then we get his oldest brother just ripping him apart. Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. Why have you come down? Isn't that interesting language? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Do you know what they're doing right now? They're mocking him. They're mocking him. I know your presumption and the evil of your heart. Jesus was accused of being of a devil. You get it? Boy, there's so much here, isn't there? Mocked by his brothers like Jesus. David said, what have I done now? Was it not but for a word? And he turned away from them toward another. I would have gathered you as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he, Saul, sent for him. David said, Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Look at the role David is now taking. Do you remember what we said about chapter 16 last week? We said that chapter 16 was this little picture of who David is and why he should be the next king of Israel. And chapter 17 is the unpacking of why he meets all those qualifications. This is a young man who is now getting ready to calm the hearts of people whose hearts are failing. Until Jesus Christ returns, there will continue to be a need for leadership in a fallen world. Right. Are you that leader who can calm a situation down? Because that's what he does. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. Goliath is an expert in warfare. And we're told that we fight at a level beyond the flesh, don't we? Yeah. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. That needs to be our perspective, church. We need to see our God as the living God. We need to see that our God will fight for us. We need to see who he is in all his glory. We need to emulate David. We need to see David as a role model for ourselves, for our sons, for every young man in this room. Look at his theology. It is rock solid. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, thank you for the time that we got to get into your word and just dive into it. I pray, Father God, that the next time you bring us together, that we would be thorough and that we would be detailed. I pray that you would give us the ability to see this story in at three levels, a personal level, the story of Israel, your people, the story of redemption in a larger scope. Now, God, as we go out into this fallen world, help us to be the salt and light that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.